The catechism question for the week is number 61, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? And the answer is, the fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required and the profaning the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. So obviously, if the fourth commandment is one that is not in a phrased thou shalt not, but is phrased as a positive command, remember and consecrate, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first way that you can violate the fourth commandment, the first thing that it forbids, is failing to do that which is commanded. Now, in particular, the command being to consecrate as holy means failing to do only that which is commanded. So you could really just answer the question, the fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission of the duties required. Because when something is consecrated as holy, it is consecrated only for that purpose, can't be used for any other purpose. When something is consecrated as holy, it must be done with the whole heart as well. So the omission is forbidden. The careless performance is part of is itself an omission, and the profanings that are described are an omission. So the fourth commandment is what we would call a regulative commandment, that is, or a prescriptive commandment. It means not only does it give us things that we can't do, but it tells us what we must do and nothing but that. Just like we say the regulative principle of worship or the prescriptive principle of worship, that you may only do in worship the things that God has prescribed. But in this case, with respect to the Lord's Day. So the fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission, and then, of course, the careless performance of the duties. If God has consecrated the day as holy, then does it keep the day to do acts of worship in a heartless, mindless, thoughtless, careless manner? That's not consecration. That is the sin of Nadab and Abihu, drawing near to God and yet not reverencing him. Or as Jesus calls it, drawing near with the lips, but the heart being far from him. Very important to remember that in that particular context, Jesus was talking about including the traditions of men alongside the commandments of God. So that can be done with the public, with the actions of public worship, second commandment type stuff, the way Nadab and Abihu did in Leviticus chapter 10, but it also applies to the Lord's Day. That if we do on the Lord's Day, which God has set apart as holy unto him for drawing near to him in worship, if we add things that are traditions of men to the Lord's Day, then we draw near with the lips, but our hearts are far from him. And of course, there's a much more crass way, much more vulgar, obvious way of drawing near with merely lip service, and that is to not think about him at all, to not incline our hearts towards him, our affections, our emotions towards him at all. Joyless Lord's Day keeping is a careless performance of the duties required. Not to come with a submissive will, desiring to respond to whatever it is that we discover about our Lord with praise, to whatever it is that he teaches us with faith, to whatever it is that he commands us with obedience, this careless performance of the duties required. No, we must keep the day joyously, and we must keep the day thinkingly, believingly, thoughtfully, and we must keep the day zealously and diligently. So all of those in the emotions and the intellect and the will are required. So the fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required and the profaning the day by. So you take a day that is supposed to be completely clean or completely holy or completely set apart, and then you do something that is not clean or something that is less than or other than what it is set apart for, and you profane it. You make it filthy. Perhaps you have heard the word profanity used of filthy speech, recognizing the purpose of speech as something in which we image God, something that we use to praise God, something that we use to edify others. And rather than letting our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order to edify, we use our speech in a way that brings down, or that is useless, or even that is foul, and that is profanity. Well, just as you can profane speech, you can profane the Lord's Day, simply by doing nothing. If the day is set apart as holy for a particular purpose, for us it's a day of laying around and doing nothing, we're disregarding that which God has called holy. We're treating it as if it is either for us or even just useless altogether, taking that day off, as it were. That's profaning the day. Another way of profaning the day is doing that which is in itself sinful. Of course, we should never sin, but then you take time that is set apart as holy in a way that other time is not, and you sin in that time. And here, when he says worldly employments or recreation, he's not saying sinful employments or recreations. He's saying non-worship thoughts or recreations. There will be necessary thoughts about earthly things, those things that are necessary in order to worship, eating and drinking and being dressed and so forth. Those things that are necessary in order to enable others to worship, deeds of mercy, alleviating their needs, coming to their aid in order that they may be the better enabled to worship the Lord on his day as well. And then there are necessary thoughts, words, and works in the responding to God's word, because hearing God's word is a big part of the worship of God, and praying to God is a big part of the worship of God. And so his word, because it has application to all sorts of things in our lives, we have the necessary duty of hearing his word in a submissive way, in a way that applies that word. So those are necessary thoughts, words, and works. Worrying about what you have to do, your work you have to do, that's not a necessary thought, word, or work. Desiring or wishing that you could be doing some recreational activity instead of some earthly recreational activity instead of the worship of God, that's not a necessary thought, word, or work. But there are necessary thoughts, words, or works that come in the context either of making appropriate application of God's word to your life, having his word search us, be living and active, expose the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, correct something that we have been doing wrongly, or instruct us to do something that we have been failing to do that is right to do. And then, of course, making all our requests known unto God, and being anxious about nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making our requests known to him, casting all our cares upon him in prayer, because he cares for us. Those are not unnecessary thoughts, words, or works. Those are a right way of worshiping God in the way that he has commanded. We must never think that, I would really like to think about this thing or talk about this thing, so I'm going to do it in a way that sounds worshipful so that it will be keeping the Lord's Day. No, that wasn't a necessary way. That was a way that you tried to make it necessary so that you could serve your desire, but rather always thinking and speaking in a way that is necessary to the day, necessary to our keeping it the way the Lord has commanded us to do. This is a commandment that is much more easily kept by thinking of the other question, the previous question, what is required in the fourth commandment? If we spend our thoughts or turn our thoughts, incline our thoughts towards not doing what is forbidden, we are probably already on the way to breaking the fourth commandment because of the way that it is positively commanded and because of the nature of consecration or holiness or sanctifying or devotion, all of those words describing what we are to be doing with the day.